welcome in to the Email Design Podcast, your home for all things email design, development, and marketing. We are your hosts. I'm Kevin Mandeville.
And I'm Jason Rodriguez.
And we are coming at you today with a community, Litmus Community question and answer. We're going to take your questions that you asked in the Litmus Community and just go over our answers. So what are we kicking it off with today, Jason?
Yeah, so the first community question was asked by Nicole Smith a couple of days ago, about a week ago. She asks, how can we get images in Outlook to respect the container size? So the problem she's having is that she doesn't have control over the image tag because the email editor she's using doesn't allow them to edit that tag directly. So she can't directly set the width attribute or the height attribute or any inline styles on that image tag itself. So it's causing issues in Outlook. She doesn't have full control over the image sizing that's uploaded. So is there any way to make that image respect the parent container size in Outlook? So short answer is that unfortunately there is not. Mark Robbins had a potential fix of targeting the container element itself, so whether that's a table or table cell, and then using an inline style that targets that class and then the descendant image and sets that width and height specifically, very explicitly in the inline style, or the embedded style. But before the podcast, actually, Kevin, you were testing that out and found out that didn't work because Outlook doesn't like inheritance in CSS, which kind of sucks. So there's no way to do that. You need to set the width or height attribute on the image tag itself, and without access to it, you're kind of out of luck, unfortunately. I do like the advice of Mark again to either switch the email editor you're using or talk to the vendor of the editor and try to get them to update support, because that does seem like a pretty glaring oversight on their part to not allow people to update image tags.
Yeah, I mean, you need to control it with HTML attributes on the image itself. The only other hack would be just if you know what the desired dimensions are supposed to be, you could make the image actually be that size. But unfortunately, there's really no good way to target this with Outlook with CSS. So you really need to be setting it on the HTML or in the actual dimensions of the image itself. And unfortunately, there's just no other workaround for it. That's just kind of email in a nutshell for you. All right. This is another good question. We're sticking with Outlook. Thomas Manganiello, or is it Manganiello? I guess we're going to get into the soft G, hard G debate. Swapping an animated GIF with an alternate static image for all Outlook users on PC. So is it possible to swap an animated GIF with an alternate static image via CSS, he asks. What our recommendation would be is don't control this with CSS. You can actually control all of this in the HTML. So you can use Outlook conditional comments. So if you have a conditional comment of if MSO as like the basic, you know, one to ever test, but typically we would target all of Outlook. So you could do if GTE MSO 9, which is greater than or equal to Microsoft Outlook version 9 and above, which is 2000 and above. And then you use the combinator to also include IE. So it's if GTE MSO 9 and IE. If you use that, what you can do is you can actually hide the actual animated GIF in Outlook by commenting it out through that conditional comment and then only displaying the image of the static image as your fallback and serve that up for Outlook. So that's what we would do is just simply hide what you show for all other clients in Outlook and comment it out. And it's going to be, basically invisible for Outlook by commenting it out. And then you just sort of have your fallback, which you can turn on and show and hide. So that's pretty much the simple approach to it. It's just using a couple of if MSO tags to show or hide.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like too often people will be trying to rack their brain to do it in CSS or do some complicated showing and hiding, targeting and stuff like that. But your good friend MSO conditional is there to save the day. All right, talking to, I want to say Sesfab. Post this, there you go, 2 days ago. He was asking whether or not it's, I like his term, legal, to wrap entire tables with anchor tags. So you want to make an entire table a link. So the issue that he's running into is that he has an icon and some text that's spanning a line. And when it breaks down to that next line, it's going underneath the icon. He doesn't want that. So he wants to use tables to segment that separate content, the icon and the text itself. But he wants all of that linkable. So he does make the point that's absolutely true that in HTML5, the rules around anchor tags were changed so that they're allowed to wrap block level elements, which before you weren't supposed to do it that way. But unfortunately, when it comes to email clients, not all email clients use the HTML5 rendering capabilities. So they don't really respect that ruling. So you could run into some issues there. So the easiest fix for this is to code those things in tables and then just link those separate things. So link the image itself up for that icon and then link the copy around it as well. So you won't get all the white space linked around that within as you would if you were linking that entire table. But all those individual pieces will still be linked to the same place and you can get that kind of nice formatting that you want around there.
Yeah, just one of those things. There's no way around it. You got to just link them individually. Yeah, I mean, if you just think about all the non-HTML5 rendering engines there are in email, you know, that's why we need to accommodate it.
There's a lot of them, yeah.
There's a lot of them, yeah. It's, you know, it's not just Outlook. It's like even you get into the webmails and things like that where you can run into issues potentially. So, yeah, you just need to wrap individual elements and not the whole table because otherwise it's just going to be like a non-functioning broken link. Yeah. So
what can you do? I think that's the theme of today's episode is what can you do? Speaking of things you can't really control, Steph Conan posted 2 weeks ago about media query support on Android in the Gmail app. But the specific here is that it's using an Exchange account in the Gmail app on Android. So wondering whether or not you can get media query support in there or if it's something that's out of his control. Steph, bad news yet again. It is, in fact, out of your control. Because Gmail, when you're using a non-Gmail account, does not support media queries. So this is the term for this is Ganga, which was coined by Remy Parmentier in this great overview of all the different email or Gmail rendering engines and how their updates affect that. So Ganga stands for Gmail Android with a non-Gmail account. So most Gmail accounts will render media queries. They had that nice update that happened last year, 2016, that allowed for media query support, embedded styles, all that great stuff. But the things that don't have that were mobile webmail for Gmail, the Google Apps free edition, and then Ganga, which is Gmail Android with non-Gmail account. So there's not too much you can do. Good advice would be to, you know, use something like the hybrid coding approach. That would allow you to get those responsive elements working in your email without relying on media query support itself. But yeah, not too much to do with Ganga.
And a similar vein from Fernando Randina asking about media queries on Android 6. So I'm trying to troubleshoot the way Android 6 handles responsive code. You know, it's behaving as expected on iOS and Android 4.4, but not on Android 6. And this would also include Android 5.1. And the reason why media queries aren't working here is because they're not supported here. And this really goes back to, this has been a huge education piece, and we keep bringing it up because not enough people realize it, is that Android 4.4 and below use the native mail app of the Android operating system. So Android is it's an open source OS. It has its own default mail app. Android 4.4 and below, it used that native mail app, which supported media queries. Starting at Android 5.1 and above, they switched to using Gmail as the default mail app, which does support media queries, but that's a separate app. It's the Gmail app. The actual native mail app of the Android OS starting at 5.1 and above became a very stripped down version, which did not include support for media queries. So I wouldn't really worry about it as much because Android 5.1 and 6.0, that native mail app, although it can be installed by users, they kind of have to go out of their way. It's not really existent in the wild right now, as most people are just using the default installed Gmail app. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. But like you said, you can use a hybrid method, use, you know, the display table method, whatever, a bunch of these mobile first approaches to get around and get support for it. But you just need to understand, if you're looking at the native mail app for Android 5.1, 6.0, 7.0, basically 5.1 and above, that's not going to have media query support. But I wouldn't worry about it too much, because it's just not really a huge use case right now. If another provider comes along that has support for it, or like they build their own email app, they could use it as a base. So it might be important just to keep tabs on it in that sense. But as of right now, it's nothing too big to worry about. All right, we're just going to take a quick break here, let you know you can subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud, YouTube, and iTunes. So catch the podcast as soon as it drops there. And you can catch all the past episodes of the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. So all the show notes, links, just past episodes, catch up. We're on like episode 74 now, so a good library of information. You can tweet along with the hashtag emaildesignpodcast on Twitter. Jason and I are following along there, and we want to just give a quick shout out to Litmus, who's kind of the sole sponsor, so to speak, for letting us do this podcast. So Litmus is just the fastest way to test your emails before they go out the door, make sure that you don't have any errors, whether that's an actual rendering error, testing your emails in all the different email clients, Outlook, Gmail, iPhone, etc., you know, testing in things like Android 6, you know, IMAP accounts, which are non-Gmail accounts, things like this that we're talking about today. You can test it all right there, but you can also check things like your links, your tracking, your images, make sure nothing's broken, make sure nothing's pointing to the wrong place or taking too long to load. It really just makes sure you're error-free before your email goes out the door. And so we have a great 14-day free trial of Litmus. You can just go to litmus.com/giftcard and input the coupon code podcast. Special offer for you. We really don't offer coupon codes anywhere else anymore. This is one of the last places that we're sort of doing a unique promo code. So definitely take advantage of that. And yeah, use Litmus for your whole email design and testing, QA and analytics workflow from front to end. It really has a whole workflow covered for you to help make creating email a lot easier.
Cool. Getting back into it. We're going to stick with this Android 5 and 6 theme here, because Shane Smith posted about a week ago wondering why he couldn't get background images on a table cell to work in Android 5 and 6. So again, this is kind of breaking down those different apps and stuff on Android. Kevin, you were just talking about how Gmail's kind of the default app now, and those vanilla ones on anything above 4.4 don't really matter as much because they're not installed by default and people probably aren't using them. So again, those vanilla Android 5 and 6 email apps don't support background images. So even if you're using, you know, the old fallback was using the background attribute in HTML, and then couple that with, you know, inline styles using background image or the background shorthand, whatever, that's not going to work here. So your fallback should just be, you know, you can still use that for other email clients, but make sure you fall back to a good background color. And so if you have any live text over that image, you want to make sure that fallback color is there so that you can still read it, all that good stuff. But unfortunately, those background images aren't going to work.
Just another thing. It's just totally stripped out by that whole, which is very weird. So yeah, a good way to think about it is, you know, the Android 5.1 and 6 and Gmail IMAP, like non-Gmail accounts in Gmail, they don't support media queries and they strip background images as well. So interesting to note. Joe Williams asked an interesting question around the Gmail app for iOS. So going from Android to iOS here, he asked about the background color not being the full width in the Gmail app. So he's got an email, which he's trying to make, you know, 100%, but he's noticing that on the right-hand side that there's a bit of a gap for Gmail iOS. And so the reason why this exists is this is actually a little limitation in the Gmail app. That's kind of like, for whatever weird reason, is just sort of their way of rendering all the emails by default. We can hack this, though, to make it display 100% width. So what you can do is use a Gmail targeting hack. So you can use in your CSS U for the underline tag plus a class of body in which you then put that class of body on the actual body tag. Or additionally, you could do U with the general sibling selector of div. Basically, what the U is if Gmail converts the doc type into an underlying tag for your email. So you can use the U as a targeting and then just going down through its descendants, whether you use an actual class of body on the body tag or just doing the next general, you know, selector of a div for that method. And you can wrap that in a media query. So whatever your media query you want, typically something like 480 pixels or something to cover all the devices. And then simply change the width to be 100 VW, so 100 viewport width. And make sure you use important on it to overwrite anything. And that's going to force only for the Gmail app because you're using Gmail targeting to be 100%. And you have it wrapped in a media query, so it's only going to be impacted for mobile. It's not going to impact Gmail on desktop. And that's just a nice little way to force a full width on Gmail through CSS for something like this.
So how about refreshing images within an email, Kevin? Is there a way to refresh an image within an email, similar to how you would do something like Ajax on a website?
This is something that I've played around with and tested out a little bit. And this is a good question from Diego. I'm not aware of any method that you can refresh it inside the same existing session when viewing an email. You need an actual refresh of the email itself, because otherwise the way it really works and everything that I've tested is that the email downloads assets at the time of the open. And even if you're trying to force sort of a repaint of things with, you know, checkboxes of hiding, showing, et cetera, it's not actually changing the downloaded content. That only happens upon an actual refresh of the entire email. So, and I should put a caveat. There's some things that I haven't really tested out too much, like maybe there's some other type of hack around using RSS feeds or iframes or whatnot. But in my limited, you know, research that I've done around this, I haven't found a way to get things to refresh within the same session. And that would have been ideal because this is stuff that we've done with like our Twitter feeds and whatnot, Jason, that would have been perfectly applicable to try to do. But I just haven't found an actual refresh work like that before inside the email.
Yeah. I feel like this is our most depressing podcast episode because essentially every question is like, oh no, you can't do that. Sorry. But I don't want to leave on a bad note. So we do have a great trick for you guys to kind of round out this conversation. So Moore Zala posted a little while back about whether or not you're able to view the email HTML on mobile clients. So what he's kind of talking about is when you send an email and it gets delivered to an email client, a lot of those email clients will manipulate the code that it then views or displays to you. So that's where you get things like, you know, we talked about Gmail, updating your doc type to use the underline tag. You get weird classes inserted by like Yahoo or Outlook or whatever, you know. So is there a way to see this processed HTML on the mobile device itself for those mobile clients? Because a lot of desktop clients, they allow you to do this. You know, Apple Mail, Outlook, they allow you to view that raw source code of what's displayed. So you can see it there. But as far as I know, on any mobile clients, there's no way to do that. So a good hack for this, which very few people know about, but I think it's something that both you and I talk to everyone about, Kevin, because it's one of the most useful things.
So helpful.
Yeah. So in Litmus, when you're viewing your email previews, those screenshots that we show you of all those different devices and email clients, you can actually right click on one of those screenshots and say open image in new tab. So that'll open that raw PNG image file in a new tab of your browser. So then you want to go to the URL of that in that browser and switch out the .png file extension to .html. And in most email clients in Litmus, that will display that processed HTML that we use to capture that screenshot and display to you. So that's exactly what the client is doing to your HTML. You can see exactly what's going on in your email. It just requires you to take a couple of extra steps within Litmus. It's not a feature that we really like publicize too much. It's not like an officially supported option or tool in like Build or anything like that. It's just one of those cool little power user hacks that allow you to view the process HTML for a lot of the clients. Not all clients support this in Litmus, but a fair amount do.
Yeah, there's some like I know Windows 10 Mail doesn't support it and whatnot. And again, it's not officially supported. So just be thankful that we're sharing this little secret power hack. So it's not going to work all the time. And yeah, if you ever run into issues of it not capturing properly, try refreshing the preview, getting a new preview and retrying it. Often that fixes it. But sometimes they're just down. Sometimes the email client doesn't support it. So there's a variety of issues that, or reasons, I should say, why it may not work right now as it's not officially supported. But it's something we would like to, especially in the future. We find it to be extremely helpful for especially Outlook, you know, and some of the mobile apps like Gmail apps and whatnot. Very, very helpful to be able to get in there and see, here's what this email client actually did to my code. We have code analysis in Builder, which is nice to see what is supported or unsupported, but sometimes that doesn't tell the whole story of how it's actually translating your code and processing your code. You know, this really gives you the end result and you can kind of reverse engineer and troubleshoot from there and find hacks and fixes there. So it's definitely a huge, huge help when you're trying to dig into certain rendering issues you're dealing with.
Yeah, I kind of think of it as like a web inspector or like developer tools for email.
Yeah, it is.
So you can see exactly what's going on. You don't get all the nice tools like you do with developer tools, but it allows you at least see what's going on.
What you can do is you basically, you know, view the page source and you open it up in the browser preview. That's true. You can just inspect from there. That's typically what I do.
Nice. At Boston, our last conference a couple of weeks ago, I told it probably 10 or 12 people about this hack and they were all thrilled and their minds were blown. So definitely take this and use it because it's an awesome, awesome little tool.
Yeah. So yeah, let us know what you all think about it and what you would like to, how you would like to interact with it. Cause it's something we're definitely hoping to support in the future. So your feedback is encouraged. So that was a good way to end the podcast on a little bit of a higher note there. I mean, I guess what I'd like to say is don't ever let limitations prevent you from doing things.
Like, yeah, totally.
Definitely build the fallbacks, but definitely experiment. You know, things like refreshing inside of a client, like that's something that needs to be hacked around more, right? I'm sure there might be a way, but it's just we're not too sure of it right now. So definitely test and hack away, people. Don't let limitations stop you, because sometimes the only limitation is yourself. Boom. All right, that's a good way to end it right there. All right. Great episode. Catch all the other episodes at emaildesignpodcast.com. Tweet along with the hashtag emaildesignpodcast and subscribe on SoundCloud, YouTube, and iTunes. And don't forget, free 14-day trial of Litmus. Just go to litmus.com/giftcard and input the coupon code podcast. So you can do this whole PNG to HTML trick, use code analysis, use previews, test an Android Gmail app, all that stuff. We got you covered. See you next time, email geeks. We'll be right back.